And let us reflect on Psalm 94 and reflect in Jesus' company. This is a lament against those who perpetrate injustice, foolishly thinking that God doesn't notice. The psalmist is pleading with God to intervene, to protect the innocent and wipe out the wicked. The king has two main functions: to protect the people, symbolized by the sword, and to administer justice, symbolized by the scepter. Human rulers may fail to act justly, not so Yahweh. Genesis 18 reads, "Far be it from you to do such a thing," this is the cry, "to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And Abraham goes on to plead with God. So the text reads, "O God, reveal yourself, our avenging God. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Give to the arrogant what they deserve. How long, O God, how long will the wicked strut around? They bluster and boast, flaunting their evil behavior. They crush your people. They oppress your land. They kill the widow and the stranger. They murder the orphan. God is blind, they say. The God of Jacob sees nothing." "Pay attention, you fools, you stupid people. When will you understand? Does God who made the ear not hear? Does God who made the eye not see? Does God who corrects the nations not punish? Does God who teaches humankind lack knowledge? God knows our thoughts, how empty they are. Blessed and happy are those whom you discipline, O God, those to whom you give your law. They find comfort when times are hard, times are bad, while a grave is being dug for the wicked. O God, you do not forsake your people. You do not abandon your heritage. The innocent will win back their right. There will be a future for the righteous of heart. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who sides with me against those who do evil? Without your help, O God, I would be lying silent in the grave. When I feel myself slipping, your covenant love, O God, supports me. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations lift my spirit." Can they claim you for their side? Corrupt officials who do injustice under cover of law? They band together against the just, condemning the innocent to death. You, O God, O Yahweh, you are my strength, my God, my rock of refuge. It is your will to wipe them out for the evil they do. Yahweh, our God, will wipe them out. very understandable feelings all through that psalm. And here's a comment. In ancient Israel, there was an obligation to avenge the killing of a member of one's clan. This obligation persists even when the killer seeks asylum. This is Deuteronomy. If someone at enmity with another lies in wait and attacks and takes the life of that person and flees into one of these cities, then the elders of the killer's city shall send to have the culprit taken from there and handed over to the avenger of blood to be put to death. That's the basis of their culture, I suppose you'd say. And they're projecting it onto God. This is God's command here, as they see it. In God's blessing of Noah, we hear God say, I will require a reckoning for human life. Whoever sheds the blood of a human being by a human being, shall that person's blood be shed. For in God's own image, God made humankind. On one hand, this highlights, as I see it, the sacredness of human life. But on the other, it requires a form of revenge. It's not surprising that seeing revenge as a form of justice led to it being projected onto the just God, extending the imagery of an angry God who punishes bad behavior, and especially Israel's enemies. Apart from a few verses, as I see it, we cannot hear this psalm coming from Jesus' prayerful heart. This is Nahum, the prophet, a jealous and avenging God is God. God is avenging and wrathful. God takes vengeance on his adversaries and rages against his enemies. God is slow to anger, but great in power. And God will by no means clear the guilty. This is a far cry from Jesus' image of God as one who challenges, yes, and inspires us not to react violently to violence and to love our enemies. And the reason Jesus gives for that is God loves them. Here's the text from Matthew chapter 5. You've heard that it was said, and we've read some of it, and it's included in our psalm, it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, said Jesus, don't resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, you've offered your right cheek, as their custom was, as a kiss, a greeting of peace. You offer your right cheek and they resist, they don't accept it. Well then, offer your left, give the other cheek. Don't stop loving because other people are unloving. Sorry, back to Jesus' words. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, well, give them your cloak. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, but you shall hate your enemy. No, 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 says Jesus. I say this to you. Love your enemies. And he explains what that means. Pray for those who persecute you, so that they may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, offer your cheek. What more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do that? No, you be perfect. Your goal, your direction you're facing in, the way the Father is perfect. And Luke, in that same setting, in the Sermon on the Plain, it's often called, he actually doesn't use the words, be perfect as your Father is perfect. He says, be compassionate, which translates that really nicely, because that is the way God is perfect. Verse 11 of the psalm reads, God knows our thoughts, how empty they are. And Paul quotes this verse in his first letter to the Corinthians. Your covenant love, O God, supports me when the cares of my heart are many. Your consolation lift my spirit. And we might compare Isaiah, you shall be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. And Jeremiah, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he the child I delight in? As often as I speak against him, I'll remember him. Therefore I'm deeply moved for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says Yahweh. A beautiful insight of the prophet Jeremiah into God. That's chapter 31, verse 20. The psalmist complains about, quote, corrupt officials who do injustice under cover of law. That's a very, not a subtle point, but a really precise point. He's criticizing the officials for being unjust, but that's not the primary thing he's criticizing them for. He's criticizing them for being unjust under the cover of law, because they have the capacity to create the laws. The prophets speak out against, they all do, injustice, especially the injustice that hides behind the law, so they can say it's legal. Who created the law? They give it, it gives their actions a semblance of being just because it's supported by law. Isaiah speaks out against those, quote, who make iniquitous decrees, who write oppressive statutes to protect themselves and their buddies and their class. Similarly, Jeremiah, how can you say we're wise and the law of God is with us, when in fact the false pen of the scribes has made it into a lie? So I'll take that psalm as read. And now we come to Psalm 95, where we can actually, I believe, pray it with Jesus. This is the third in a series of psalms dedicated to the kingship of God. Psalm 93 celebrates in song God's victory and reign, And Psalm 94, which we've just looked at, celebrates God's activity as judge. Now, Psalm 95 is in two parts. In the first part, the psalmist invites us to join in praise of God, the great King, creator of the universe. Then comes a warning. Those who were freed from slavery in Egypt, they failed to enter the promised land because they failed to heed God's word. Let not the same happen to us. If we think we can engage in the liturgy without listening to God, we're putting God to the test in failing once again to place our trust in God. We may be entering the physical building of the temple, but we're not entering the promised land or true rest, and we could once again lose what God is offering us as a gift. The rest that consists in living in communion with God. The rest, place of rest. So I'll pray it first and then offer a comment and we can join in after that. Come, says the psalmist, let us sing joyfully to God. Let us shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, singing joyfully to the sound of music. For God, that's Yahweh, is the high God, sovereign over all the gods. God's hand holds the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountain peaks. The ocean belongs to the one who shaped it, and the dry land to the one who formed it. Come, let us worship and bow low. Let us kneel before Yahweh. That's the God of Moses, the God of the burning bush, the God of the Exodus. Let us kneel before God, our Maker. This is our God, our Shepherd. We are the sheep fed by God's hand. Oh, that today you would listen to God's voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massah in the desert, in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested me, though they'd seen my deeds. For 40 years I was sickened by that generation, and I said, there are people whose hearts are astray. They pay no regard to my ways. I took an oath, says God, they would never enter my rest. This psalm, as I know you realize, it opens the divine office that is the prayer of the church each day. And the same warning holds. We're entering into God's presence. It's imperative that we listen to God's voice, or our prayers are empty and profitless. Oh, that today you would listen to my voice. God is the high God, says the psalmist, sovereign over all the gods. Psalm 96, which we'll come to, reads, great is God, greatly to be praised, to be revered above all the gods. You can see they're still in a polytheistic world. Psalm 97, all gods bow down before him, before Yahweh. Verse 7 reads, this is our God, our shepherd. We're the sheep fed by God's hand. Psalm 100, know that God, that's Yahweh, is God. It's God, this wonderful God of the Exodus, who made us. We belong to God, Yahweh. We're Yahweh's people. We're the sheep of Yahweh's fold. And then the verse, oh, that today you would listen to God's voice, says the psalmist. Psalm 81, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. And then a comment on verse 11, which reads, I took an oath they'd never enter my rest. God's rest is the model and the guarantee of the rest experienced by those who are at home with God, in communion with God, resting, like the beloved disciple on the heart of Jesus at the supper. Here's Deuteronomy. You have not yet come, not yet, into the rest and possession that God, your God, is giving you. First Kings, blessed be Yahweh, who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. And Jeremiah, thus says God, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. They've been tested by time, by saints, the communion of saints. So stand at the crossroads, we're making decisions, discerning what to do, and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But, says Jeremiah, they said, we won't walk in it. We want something new, fangled, different, exciting, other. And he's saying, no, 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 go back to the tested way. Stay with the tested way. As we pray this psalm with Jesus, I'm sure we can hear him say, come to me, all you who labor and are carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I mean, that picks up the theme of this psalm quite beautifully. And the book of Revelation says, write this, and writing always means it's something permanent, etched in stone, there, not just whatever, but solid and trustworthy. And so write this. Blessed are the dead who from now on die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. There's a commentary on Psalm 95, this psalm, verses 7 to 11, in the letter to the Hebrews. The author sees the failure of the people as a failure to believe. He says they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And he exhorts his fellow Christians, take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And he concludes his reflections on Psalm 95 with this exhortation, let us make every effort to enter that rest so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs, as our ancestors in the desert. So let's pray in Psalm 95 in choir. Come, let us sing joyfully to God. Let us shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, singing joyfully to the sound of music. For God is the high God, sovereign over all the gods. God's hand holds the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountain peaks. The ocean belongs to the one who shaped it, and the dry land to the one who formed it. Come, let us worship and bow low. Let us kneel before the God our Maker. This is our God, our Shepherd. We are the sheep fed by his hand. Oh, that today you'd listen to God's voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massa in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested me, though they had seen my deeds. For 40 years I was sickened by that generation, and I said, they are a people whose hearts are astray. They pay no regard to my ways. I took an oath that they would never enter my rest. And now we can pray Psalm 96 with Jesus. The psalm reads, sing to God a new song. Sing to God, all the earth. Bless God's holy name. Proclaim God's saving presence from day to day. Tell among the nations God's glory, God's marvelous deeds all over the world. Great is God, and greatly to be praised, to be revered above all the gods. Yes, the gods, Hebrew El is the word for God in the Semitic world, Elim is the plural. So it's not Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for God. Elim is a general cultural word for gods, the plural. So, yes, the gods of the world, they're idols. It was God, Yahweh, who made the heavens. It's the same God of majestic light who fills the temple with beauty. Acknowledge God, you nations. Acknowledge God's glory and might. Acknowledge the glory due to God. Bring an offering. Enter the courts. Worship God, Yahweh, in holy splendor. Tremble before God, all the earth. Say among the nations, Yahweh is king. The world is firmly established. God will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice and be glad. Let the sea and all within it roar. Let the field and all it bears rejoice. Then will all the trees of the forest sing for joy before God who is coming to judge the nations. God rules the world with justice and judges the nations in accord with the truth. This is the fourth in a series of 7 psalms to God as King. The psalmist calls the heavens and the earth and all peoples to acclaim God, the Creator, who is coming to judge the world. God's reign is universal, serene, and secure. The psalmist is calling on the nations to worship Yahweh. Acknowledge Yahweh, you nations. verse 7. Psalm 86 read, all the nations you formed, all of them, will come and bow down before you, God. They will glorify your name. And Psalm 148, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, praise the name of God, Yahweh, which alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven. Praying this psalm with Jesus, we recall that we're to be judged by how our lives are in accordance with his. John chapter 5, the Father judges no one. He has given all judgment to the Son. And a little later in chapter 5 of John, the Father has given the Son authority to execute judgment. And chapter 12 of John, the one who rejects me and doesn't receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge. How do we stand in relation to Jesus? Preaching in Athens, Paul states in Acts chapter 17, God has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And Paul writes of the Messiah, Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. And to Corinthians, he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. That's Jesus. Colossians, God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So how good it is that our judge will be Jesus, the compassionate, loving, understanding Jesus. In the book of Revelation we read, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Messiah. He will reign forever and ever. So let's pray Psalm 96. Sing to God a new song. Sing to God, all the earth. Bless God's holy name. Proclaim God's saving presence from day to day. Tell among the nations God's glory, God's marvelous deeds all over the world. Great is God, and greatly to be praised, to be revered above all the gods. Yes, the gods of the world are idols. It was God who made the heavens. It's the same God of majesty, light, who fills the temple with beauty. Acknowledge God, you nations. Acknowledge God's glory and might. Acknowledge the glory due to God. Bring an offering. Enter his courts. Worship God in holy splendor. Tremble before God, all the earth. Say among the nations, God is King. The world is firmly established. God will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice and be glad. Let the sea and all within it roar. Let the field and all it bears rejoice. Then will all the trees of the forest sing for joy before God, who is coming to judge the nations. God rules the world with justice and judges the nations in accordance with the truth. And we'll conclude with Psalm 97, another psalm I believe we can pray with Jesus. It reads, God is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let all the coastlands be glad. Cloud and darkness are God's raiment. Justice and right are the foundations of God's kingdom. Fire consumes all resistance. God's lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. Mountains melt like wax before God, before the God of all the earth. The heavens proclaim the justice of God. All the peoples behold God's glory. Worshippers of images are put to shame, those who boast of their worthless idols. You, gods, bow down before God, Yahweh. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you indeed are God, most high over all the earth, exalted far above any god. God loves those who hate evil, guards the lives of the faithful, and rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright of heart. Rejoice in God. Praise God's holy name. This is the fifth of a series of psalms celebrating God's kingship. It celebrates God's justice, which vindicates those who are loyal to the covenant. All other gods and all those who do evil cower before the manifestation of God as judge. Other psalms also see in the power of nature a manifestation of God's presence. And I'll read from Psalm 18. God, you tore open the heavens and came down, a black cloud under your feet. You rode on the back of the cherub and came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. You made darkness your covering, wrapped in a canopy of thick black storm clouds. Lightning announced God's presence with hailstones and flashes of fire. God thundered in the heavens. The voice of the Most High resounded. Psalm 77. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. And Psalm 50. The mighty God, the high God, speaks, summoning the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God is coming and will not be silent. First comes a devouring fire, then a mighty tempest. From on high, God summons the heavens and the earth to witness the judgment of the people. Verse 2 read, justice and right are the foundations of God's kingdom. Psalm 89, justice and right judgment are the foundations of your throne. Kindness and faithfulness go before you. Blessed and happy are the people who acclaim you, O God. They will walk in the light of your countenance. And the psalmist prays, you gods, bow down before God. Hebrew 1:6 quotes this verse, following the Septuagint Greek version, which reads, let all God's angels bow down before God. So there's been a movement from the polytheistic gods to monotheism has become stronger, and they call them angels. Verse 8, Zion hears and is glad, the towns of Judah rejoice, because of your judgments, O God. For you indeed are God, most high over all the earth, exalted far above any god. Jerusalem rejoices to witness the judgment of the Most High. Here's Psalm 48. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. In Psalm 83, let them know that you alone, whose name is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. In Luke chapter 2, praying the psalm with Jesus, we think of him, quote, as a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. So let's pray this psalm together. God is King, let the earth rejoice, let all the coastlands be glad. Cloud and raiment are God's raiment. Justice and right are the foundations of God's kingdom. Fire consumes all resistance. God's lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. Mountains melt like wax before God, before the God of all the earth. The heavens proclaim the justice of God. All the peoples behold God's glory. Worshippers of images are put to shame, those who boast of their worthless gods. You gods, bow down before God. Zion hears and is glad. The towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you indeed are God, most high over all the earth, exalted far above any god. God of those who hate evil, guards the lives of the faithful and rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the upright of heart. Rejoice in God, praise God's holy